to the Echo. Width is spot on for a flotilla ship. Same profile, too. The radar's even picking out some asymmetries which line up with where we'd expect the antennae clusters to be on the forward sphere. She doesn't seem to be rotating. They must have sapped her spin for some reason. Maybe they got bored with gravity. How far away is she? 16,000 clicks, which, considering we've come half a light second, isn't bad. We can reach her in a few hours at minimal burn. They debated it for a few minutes, then agreed that a quiet approach made the best sense now. The fact that the ship had kept herself aligned with the flotilla meant that it was no longer possible to think of her as a drifting dead hulk. She still had some autonomy. Sky doubted that there would be living crew aboard her, but it must now be considered a real, if remote, possibility. At the very least, automated defense systems might be functioning, and they might or might not take kindly to the swift, unannounced approach of another ship. "We could always announce ourselves," Gomez said. Sky shook his head. "They've been following us quietly for the best part of a century without ever making any attempt to talk to us. Call me paranoid, but I think that just might suggest they're not particularly interested in visitors, whether they announce themselves or not. Anyway, I don't believe for one minute that there's anyone aboard. She has some system still running, that's all, just enough to keep her antimatter safe and to make sure she doesn't drift too far from the flotilla." "We'll know soon enough," Norquinco said, "as soon as we get within visual range. Then we can take a look at the damage." The next 2 hours passed agonizingly slowly. Sky modified their approach trajectory to take them slightly to one side, so that the phased array could begin to pick out some elongation in the radar echo. The results, when they came in, were no surprise. The Caliuche fitted the profile of a flotilla ship almost exactly, except for some small but puzzling deviations. "Probably damage marks," Gomez said. He looked at the radar echo, bright now, and the absence of anything else on the screen only served to emphasize how isolated they were. There had not even been any response from the rest of the flotilla. No sign that any of the other ships had noticed anything going on. "You know," he said, "I'm almost disappointed." "You are?" "At the back of my mind, I kept wondering if it wouldn't turn out to be something stranger." "A ghost ship isn't strange enough for you." Sky adjusted the course again, swinging them around to approach the ship from the other side. "Yes, but now that we know what it is, so many possibilities are ruled out. You know what I used to think it might be? Another ship sent out from home, much later than the flotilla, something a lot faster and more advanced, sent here to follow us at a safe distance, maybe just to observe us, but perhaps to step in and help us if anything went seriously wrong." Sky did his best to look contemptuous, but secretly he shared some of Gomez's feelings. "What if it got worse?" he thought. "What if the Caliuche turned out to have no useful supplies on her at all, and no safe way of exploiting her antimatter?" Just because something had spawned a myth did not automatically mean it had to contain anything of substance. He thought of the original Caliuche, the ghost ship which was supposed to haunt the waters of southern Chile, the dead aboard her trapped in an eternal and grisly celebration, sending mournful accordion music out across the waves. But whenever the real Caliuche was sighted, it always had the magical ability to turn into a seaweed-infested lump of rock or a piece of driftwood. Maybe that was all they were going to find now. The final hour passed as slowly as those that had preceded it, but at the end of that time they were rewarded with their first faint glimpse of the ghost ship. It was a flotilla vessel, all right. They might have been approaching the Santiago, except that the Caliuche had no